Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
Never filtered, always fun.
Billy Dirlago is my favorite guy in the Leafs alumni. There'll be a huge sign in the dressing room. No smoking. He'll blow a dart.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Big game tonight for the Raptors. They're in Cleveland. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. The pregame beginning in an hour. And DeMar DeRozan is in tonight, so he's playing. So they've got everyone ready to rock. Cleveland's still dealing with some injury problems, but 23 is going to be on the floor tonight. So if the king is playing, you know what you're walking into. And we've been referencing this stat all throughout the afternoon. The Raptors are 1-7 playing in Cleveland over the last three seasons, including in the playoffs. So,
I mean, it's just about the playoffs. They had a statement game, I don't know, it was a couple weeks back when they beat Houston?
Yep, Friday night, couple
but
weeks ago.
I didn't wake up the next morning and think, oh, maybe they are for real now. It's just you beat a good team. You beat them twice this year. If you go into Cleveland, you beat LeBron. They spanked them the last time in here, didn't they?
Yeah.
They put an ass-whooping on them.
Yeah, one of the worst beatings LeBron has ever taken in his career. Might have been the worst.
That's not bad, though.
Like, no, it's worth something. Like,
I think
trying to put a number on it, trying to put a tangible value on a big win during the regular season, it's impossible.
Shut up any of the critics, Brian, until they do it in the playoffs.
That's the thing. You have to have something where people can draw back on and go, you remember when they went to the third round of the playoffs. You remember this? Like,
yeah, and you, I always say it. You win with star talent. If Kyle and DeMar don't do it, they don't win.
That's exactly
like,
what LeBron said.
You can talk about how good their bench is and their depth and their young guys, but
yeah, it's star
ballers
talent.
Ball.
Well, and Raptors fans, you know, they've got their pom poms out for LeBron's comments earlier today after shoot around because he actually knew the names of Jakob Poeltl and Siakam and DeLon Wright. And there's a lot of players in the league who have no idea who those guys are because you just don't know who the bench is. You don't care about who the bench is.
They're not Deion Sanders.
They're not Deion Sanders. And we'll get to that story in a moment.
Exactly.
Do not let me forget about primetime on Twitter. But LeBron was showing respect to the Raptors and he was talking about their bench. But really, all of the other stuff was white noise. It was irrelevant.
Right.
Once you got past what he said off the top, which was, it all begins and ends with Lowry and DeMar.
It's true.
That's what it comes down to. They're going to win because those two guys rise up as well as they've played all year.
Right.
You got to get to a different level come the spring.
Yeah, star power.
Star power becomes superstar power. Like, LeBron's won MVPs, and he's been the best player on the planet during the regular season.
He seems like a student of the game, doesn't he? Like, don't you think that with the, like, I think he goes home and watches basketball every single night.
I get that impression.
That's why he knows names. That's why he knows who's coming. So yeah,
that's why he's awesome.
But it's not fake news of him saying, spitting out a player that you don't think he would know.
No, he knows who that is.
Because he tracks the league.
Right. He knows who Jakob Poeltl is. He's not just goofing around there.
Yeah, he's not being a hero.
He's not doing it to hook up Josh Lewenberg in the scrum with a good quote for the Toronto radio scene back in Toronto. You know, he's doing it because he knows it. But it'll be interesting to see what he does after his career because he is a lot like Peyton Manning. Like Manning was the same thing. Manning was a football nerd. Like Peyton knew everything and talked about it.
Did you see him on that TNT panel with Shaq and Barkley?
He might. Like, I don't know if he's got that kind of personality. I don't know if he goes media. I don't think LeBron goes media, but I could see LeBron owning or GM, like hands-on building a team. I could see that.
Yeah, I could see him on the other side. Wouldn't you want him, though? Like, wouldn't you? Like, if he is a student of the game and he's a guy who would want to put the work in and be invested. Now, how hard did Jordan work at it?
As
he was
an owner,
Washington, wasn't he owner in Washington?
He's owner in Charlotte, and he has been for a long time. And that team's been an unmitigated disaster under Jordan. By all accounts, awful ownership, awful. You know, gets involved, but
hey, 99 was a coach, and from all accounts, it wasn't that good.
Ugly.
Oh, ask our buddy Nash.
Ugly. Like Jordan, there have been reports that I believe have been corroborated that like he is walking out onto the court during practice and like challenging rookies to a game of 21 for like $100,000 on the line, and the rookie's like, well, you're the owner, like what am I supposed to say? No, but I can't beat you because you're gonna like cut me or something like that. Like, well, those are the stories you hear about Jordan as an terrible owner, that he can't walk away from the competitiveness.
Guys like
of it
Steve
all.
Yzerman and Brendan Shanahan, that kind of, they just, you have to separate what you used to do.
Yeah.
You can't say, oh, I did this, or I need to get a player like that, or I think you.
Yeah. You got to put in work.
Put in work.
You have to put in work.
You got to know every player.
And you need to surround yourself with good people, too, if you don't know. Like, that's the one thing.
They were saying Phil Jackson was scouting young kids, and he was sleeping in the stands.
It was a joke what he did in New York.
Yeah, he just took his foot off the gas and said, I'm mailing this in for 20-something million a year.
Stole money. That's what he did. Like, they're a disaster ever since he left.
But it hurts your legacy, doesn't it?
It does.
What do you think of Phil Jackson when you say right now? Do you look back at him as that Laker coach that kept
everyone? No, I think of the Gong Show.
I think of, like, you know, he got all weird with like the Zen stuff and all that, and he was heading down that path. And I look at him and he was a great coach, but his second career or third career, whatever you would call it, wasn't good.
No, it wasn't.
And it's recency bias.
You can't avoid that final chapter in New York when Phil Jackson was running the whole operation.
Right.
You know, you give him credit for all the rings he won as a coach, was a really good player. You know, you give him credit for that. That's probably a bigger part of the story. I think he deserves that. But you can't avoid that chapter. No. It's the same thing with Tiger Woods. Like, when people are writing books about Tiger over the next 30, 40, 50 years, I think I would begin the book with the 97 Masters. I think I would start there. Like, that was when he really put himself on the map and he lapped the field and it was incredible. And you're like, here comes Tiger.
After a 40 on the front nine of the first day.
But I would get to the other stuff pretty quickly, I think. I'd have to get to the other stuff. The injuries and the personal life stuff and the women. Like, that's a big part of the legacy of Tiger Woods.
What do you think of when you think of Kurt Rambis?
I think about his Twitter followers. Yeah.
But that's...
What is it? BigAss.com or something?
Hot Ass Daily or something it was. But that's what I... Kurt Rambis was a good player with the goggles, right? Like,
right.
He wore the goggles and...
Yep. But one mix-up, man.
You think of something else, right? Like, it's recency bias. So Jordan, arguably the greatest player to ever play. I mean, I know that's another challenge by people, but if he didn't put the work in, he just wanted to be a part-time owner, then be a part-time owner and put other people in situations to have success.
Right.
I could see LeBron, like Shanny, like Yzerman. I think Chris Pronger's putting the work in Florida, trying to learn his craft. If he becomes a GM or a president or something, you at least know he's gone through the process. Some guys do it, and some guys want the novelty of doing it, but they don't put the work in.
Mm-hmm.
And it tarnishes. Like, I think Gretzky's deal was a little bit different because I believe he was owed a bunch of money and there was some ownership tie-in. So,
and he was in a market where no one really knew what was going on.
You needed that name. Like, Wayne Gretzky sold tickets. Wayne Gretzky was the face of
that. Can you imagine if he was coaching like the Oilers, how awkward that coverage would have been because of who he is and what he was as a player? But then you'd be watching him coach and you'd be like, this is kind of bad. Like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, and you're like, this guy was in L.A. last night having dinner at, you know, STK Steakhouse. And flew in this morning for practice and flew back. And, you know, it's...
What is happening here? Exactly. This isn't good. You know, he's kind of lucky that it happened in Arizona where no one was really paying that close of attention.
When the league was involved too heavily.
Well, because they had to take it. Yeah, they didn't want to be seen as taking advantage of Gretzky. I don't even know if that ever got resolved. The money that he was owed, and
I'm
not sure where that stands. But you know, you look at a guy like Lemieux saved the Penguins in Pittsburgh in a lot of different ways, and
Crosby did too. Yeah. They were in trouble.
That didn't hurt winning the lottery and bringing in Sid for sure, but Lemieux, I don't get the impression like he's telling Jimmy Rutherford what he has to do.
No.
Like, I don't know. I'm sure if Rutherford wants to run something by him, he's willing to give him an answer on it.
It's good to be a sounding board, but I don't see him pounding the pavement every day.
No.
scouting players for the team and stuff. Like, you've got to put the work in to understand what the league is all about and the kids coming.
Well, and that's the thing, though, about those guys at that level. Like, Michael Jordan is at a level that is almost unparalleled.
Yeah.
You know, Lemieux is real close to that in the hockey world.
In the hockey world, for sure.
Like, as great as Stevie Yzerman was, he's an all-time great player and obviously a Hall of Famer. He wasn't Gretzky, Lemieux.
Right.
Or, you know, where LeBron is that. Like, yeah. LeBron is at that level where, I don't know, I'd be...
But Manning is.
Yeah, and Peyton Manning absolutely
and
is that, too.
Like, I'm going to go sit on the panel.
He might be on the panel. He might get into media. We still don't know what the answer is on all that. If he's going to take a gig at ESPN, at Fox. I think the last report was he might do the Thursday Nighters for Fox. So he'd be in the booth with Joe Buck, I guess.
Would he be... anything with his personality, would you think he'd be anything like Romo?
No, not even close. He's got a slower approach to him. Like, Romo's so animated, and
yeah,
you know, Romo's like a dog with his head out the window. He's just going everywhere and he's on top of everything. Yeah. Manning, I don't know how Manning would translate in the booth. I don't know. I'm curious to find out.
He does great commercials and does fun stuff with his brother, but who knows how it translates? You never know until you see it.
Well, a lot of it is rehearsed, right? Lives, oh, you know this. All three of us know this. Live is a lot different than...
Live is live, man. You don't know what the hell that can happen.
And
that's
you have
part
to
of the
react.
Nerves that are generated and the excitement. It's like,
right?
What the hell am I going to say right now?
Yeah, you've got to react to things where, you know, there are some people who are just naturally quick and some people that are better where it's taped. That's why, I mean, remember Chevy Chase, the actor? Remember he had his talk show and you thought, oh, this is going to be the greatest thing. He was awful.
It was brutal. It didn't last more than four or five shows,
because
I think.
They realized, like, he's a great actor and he's a great comedian and stuff, but it didn't translate to what he needed to do on that show.
Right.
Like,
well, and if you end up in the media, you're putting yourself out there a lot more.
Yeah.
Like, if you're behind the scenes as an owner, no one knows what you're doing. And case in point, this Deion Sanders story.
Right.
Where Sanders, I guess, was on the NFL Network. And he was talking about the Honey Badgers signing in Houston, and he's a big fan of Tyrann Mathieu, and he said he believes he's the best safety in the league. And a kid by the name of Kevin Byard, who plays down in Tennessee. Now, admittedly, I'm not that familiar with this kid and his work, but I'm not an everyday analyst on the NFL Network like Deion Sanders is. And Byard tweets back at him and just asked him, you know, how do you make this statement and not include the two first-team AP All-Pro safeties from this past year?
Right.
And Sanders responds on Twitter by saying, quote, "You're looking at who writers tell you who's the best. I know who players and former players feel is the best. I rest my case. You continue to be a fan, and I will continue being the man. Hashtag truth." And people are assuming, myself included, that Deion Sanders has no idea that this guy's actually a player in the NFL today.
Yeah, that's...
And he just started snapping on him, like, hey, don't...
Either that, or he was trying to big league him, saying, you just keep being a fan and I'll be the man.
But the thing is, Prime
Time...
The
guy calls himself Prime Time. You think you'd put it by him to just say that to somebody?
No, but I wouldn't put it by him to not know all the players in the league either. And kind of mail it in and talk about the Honey Badger, who everyone knows.
Right.
You know, it's easy to talk about him and Earl Thomas and some of the bigger household name safeties. It's another thing to really watch tape and be like, okay, who's this kid in Tennessee?
Right.
Or who's that kid in Minnesota or whatever it might be? And
I like, is it Byard? Is that how you're? I like Byard's response to him and say, you know, if you don't know, I am a current player.
In caps.
Yeah.
Current. I'm like, currently playing.
Who watches a ton of film, so trust me, I know who's balling.
And he even responded after that. He's like, listen, Deion Sanders is the GOAT. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful necessarily. I'm just trying to engage him in conversation, which has been a big part of the offseason so far in the NFL, is current players jumping on Twitter and voicing their opinions.
Yeah, the NFL, man, these guys are jumping on Twitter and just going...
They are not shy.
Enjoying themselves.
They are not shy. Leafs, again, coming off a loss last night where they just choked it away in the third period. Like, that's what I take out of it, because...
No bite back, no nothing.
Yeah, you're too far into the season for, hey, the first 35 minutes we did this. You're too good of a team for that as well. I get too much time and respect for the Maple Leafs and what they've done. it's important to point out Matthews wasn't playing, Zaitsev wasn't playing, Komarov's not playing. Those are big pieces for them. And Anderson just coming back off injury, and he looked a bit rusty at times, especially the game winner last night.
Right.
But I would use an analogy with what we're seeing tonight. If the Raptors roll into Cleveland and for 40 minutes play a really quality game, and then LeBron and the boys take over and spank them the final 8 minutes and win, we're not coming in here tomorrow and being like, hey, forget the last 8 minutes.
Right.
You're too good of a team. You've come too far for moral victories within a loss.
I think Austin Matthews says that the most. We're tired of the lessons. We've had enough lessons. People are tweeting me today saying, oh, some of these guys post-game interviews, like, they don't say anything. They're like, oh, move on to the next one. Well, what do you want them to do? Go on a tirade? And then it just leads SportsCenter, and we got to do a panel hit on it. And that's why they don't do it.
You don't.
Save it for in the dressing room. That's when you're going
to,
like,
you have to be
guarded.
Can't
do it nowadays.
Plus, guys, in a game like that, you'll think about it a little bit, but. Today,
remember Freddie Anderson's comments early in the season?
Yeah.
He was like, we got to figure out who wants to play on this team or who wants to win.
Yeah, and it was.
It was
polarizing.
But it sparked the team. It got them going. But yeah. There were a lot of people. You guys weren't happy that he said it publicly, if I can recall correctly. But
I wasn't. I understood it, but I didn't want it because of now it just drew attention. And then, remember.
You know, I didn't want it because he's not playing good right now.
He was
going to
play that next night.
Right. It was like, what are you doing
lately? It was against Boston or somebody, and he ended up playing well. But you're like, man, if he didn't play well, all we're going to do is jump on and draws more attention to you.
And somebody could have said last night or a couple of other of his performances, well, our goalie could mix in a save.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd like that. Would he?
No, he wouldn't. I mean, that's not the guy you want to mess with because they're not going anywhere if he doesn't play well.
Play
they
well.
Need Freddie Anderson.
They
rolling.
Need him to play well. And I keep coming back to, you know, the Leafs played well the first two periods, but I didn't think Tampa played very well. Like they didn't have much legs. They were trying to pass the puck into the net a couple times where, you know, and maybe that's a tribute to how well the Leafs were playing. Maybe it was a tribute that Tampa had a slow start, and then when they picked up their pace. You know, it kind of went seesaw. Like, Tampa's a good team. Like,
well, we all know they're a good team. But I do think one thing you maybe can take out of that is that was another game where I didn't think Kucherov or Stamkos really did anything against the Leafs.
Didn't notice him. The only time I noticed Stamkos is when he took that penalty against Morgan Riley.
And that's been all year. They have not dominated the Leafs in the games that they've played each other. They really
turn on a game two nights later, and they'll rip home four each.
But if you remember, in the first period, Stamkos had a one-timer, and Freddie Anderson make a really good right pad save. Like that, they've had a couple chances, but you're right. Statistically, it hasn't been their like domination.
They've been quiet. Like,
but
they've been quiet. Remember that 2-0 Lightning win at the ACC where it was, again, the same kind of characters from last night.
Adam
it was Kalorn and Ernie and Gord, and it was not Stamkos or Kucherov. And maybe that's just a totally random statistic where, for whatever reason, you know, and I'm not suggesting you go into the playoffs thinking that Babcock hasn't figured out how to shut those two down, but what we've seen out of the games that we have at our disposal this year is that Kucherov and Stamkos have not lit up the Leafs.
Yeah.
They haven't. So, you know, hopefully you can carry that over if you do end up playing them in the playoffs.
You're hoping.
Exactly.
You have to. Those are guys you got to shut down.
Yeah, that's not something that you want to mess with and draw attention to either. Just let him, like.
Just be quiet over in the corner.
You know, you play, like, we were talking about Eric Lindros last hour. It's like, you let sometimes guys sleep. Like, don't wake him up. Don't draw attention to anything. Like, hey, let this guy sleep right through the game.
Absolutely.
Because the minute that somebody does something stupid to them or draws attention to something, all of a sudden they get a little agitated or a little bit more dialed in. That's not what you want.
No.
Scott Stevens was the worst. Like, he could, if there was a sleepy night on a Tuesday where there's no physicality and then someone would go and try and take his head off and then it's like, okay.
Thanks. Smart.
Thanks. Now he wants to kill me.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not what you want.
No.
PJ Carlissimo will join us from ESPN, former assistant coach here in Toronto with the Raps.
Yep.
Cavs Raps tonight. We'll get his take on what we can expect tonight. The Cavaliers are playing for playoff positioning. You know, they could still drop all the way back to the sixth seed in the East. So they need to get some wins. It's a meaningful game for LeBron and the Cavs tonight. And, of Of course, just based on the benchmark, and we keep bringing up that term, it means something for the Raptors tonight as well. So we'll tee that game up with PJ Carlissimo, get his takes on the officiating throughout the NBA as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. You could continue replacing those cheap sunglasses when they break with more cheap sunglasses, or you can buy off eBay.ca. Find aviator sunglasses for just $48. Plus, eBay has tons of brand name fashion items to choose from this season, last season, next season. eBay, fill your cart with colors. Shop eBay.ca. All right, Raps Cavs tonight right here on TSN 1050. The pregame at 7, and PJ Carlissimo will join us here in a moment. He's coming up in a few minutes to help tee up the game tonight. He's in Cleveland, covering it for ESPN. And we've been talking about it throughout the afternoon. This is what we're waiting for, right? Like, we got a couple of big games in Toronto over the next two nights. The Leafs are in Nashville tomorrow, taking on arguably the best team in the league.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tough building to win in.
Very tough on
statement
the road.
Game.
Yep.
At least you could argue that. You know, and the same thing applies with the Raps tonight in Cleveland.
I came up with a slogan for the Raptors heading into the playoffs. Why not us?
Oh, that's never been used before.
That sounds confident, too. Hey, why not us?
Yeah, but think about it. They don't get the respect that they deserve. And everyone talks around them like, oh, you know, wait for LeBron to wake up. You wait for this to happen, and well, Golden State's just going to mow everything. Like, to me, it's something that has a slight negative connotation, but it's a rallying point.
I think they're going to try to sell that to themselves,
right?
But how often does a one seed, five games up on the next closest team in the conference,
right,
be in a position where they feel like they've got to let everyone know that they still believe in themselves? Like, how can you not believe in yourself if you're the Raptors?
I just feel like...
You have to believe in yourself.
I agree, but I'm just... Everything we talk about, it's just, well, you know, you're waiting for... Until they do it in the playoffs, until, you know, until we've written LeBron off because he's capable of going LeBron, mm-hmm. And... I just feel like there's so many other storylines instead of just looking at what's in front of you. And this is a really good team that's played very well.
Yeah,
this
they've
year.
Been really good. Well, you know, it's the same thing with the Leafs. I mean, the Leafs have been consistently a top six or seven team in the league all year.
Yep.
All year, they just keep plugging along and winning games. They're going to get 100 points.
Yeah.
They got really good talent, good top 10 special teams, good goalie, good coach.
Yeah.
They're just a really good team.
Yeah,
doesn't guarantee anything. Like, no. Who knows what they're going to do come playoff time? But they're not getting smoked.
No, but that's. I guess maybe that applies to both Toronto teams. Why not us?
Why not us?
Instead, you know, you're talking about everyone on the outside.
Hashtag, why not us?
You're starting to sell me on this idea. Oh, if we can apply it to both teams, because I think.
Well, the Raptors. Do you believe the Raptors should be perceived more with the NBA than the Leafs with the NHL?
What do you mean?
As far as success rate.
Oh, I think the Raptors should feel more confident that they can win than the Maple Leafs do. And I think the Raptors get more respect than the Leafs do. But it comes to a halt when it comes to them playing LeBron.
Right.
Like, with the Leafs, I get the impression, like, a lot of people outside of this market will say Boston's going to be a favorite. Tampa's going to be a favorite. If the Leafs get past those two teams... They'd be really lucky to do so. Maybe they can get past one, but getting past both would be very lucky. I think anybody outside of the Toronto market would look at the Raptors and say, outside of LeBron, they can beat everyone else in the East.
So you're expecting them to get to LeBron?
Yes, exactly. Beyond that, I don't know where the respect level is, and I don't know where it should be because of what has happened in the past, and that's a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
Partially talking about the Raptors and their capabilities, and on the other side, pumping the tires, deservedly so, of a guy like LeBron.
Right.
But I think the Leafs, like the Raptors have been going to the playoffs for 5 years in a row. They've won a lot of games year over year over year. The Leafs are still a couple years removed from being the worst team in the league.
Yeah, it's their second year heading into the playoffs. And last year... It was McElhinney making the left toe save on Crosby with, 13 minutes left in the game.
Mm-hmm.
If Anderson had left, and they made the playoffs kind of that last week of the season. That's not the case this year. They're a playoff team. You expect a lot more, that type of stuff. So you're right. I guess in their progression, the Maple Leafs are not as far.
Well, and also you just look at the first round. Like the Leafs are probably going to play Boston. If they lose to Boston, no one will be surprised. If the playoffs were to begin tonight in the NBA, the Raptors would play Milwaukee. If they lost to Milwaukee, that would be
an upset.
A massive upset.
Okay, yeah.
You're like, right. It wouldn't be shocking because crazier things have happened in pro sports, but it would be an awful outcome for the Raps. Like, it would be a really embarrassing loss for them. Where if the Leafs lose to Boston, that's not going to be embarrassing. No. Plus, they get swept and they make an ass of themselves every single game.
Right, and that's not going to
be. But, you know, if they lose in six or seven, you're like, well, Boston's a really good team, too.
Right.
The Raptors are not in that position in the first round.
Yeah, there you go.
And same thing in the second round. If they play like Indiana or Washington, better competition, good teams. Washington's had their number in the past.
Smoked them in a playoff series a few years ago, four straight.
Yeah, that was bad. Mm-hmm. That was ugly.
And that's why people in the States don't give them any props.
Well, we'll see what happens tonight. The game's on ESPN. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Pre-game in about a half an hour. Raptors-Cavs in Cleveland. We head there now. Catch up with former Raptors assistant coach, current NBA on ESPN radio analyst. Here is PJ Carlissimo joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. How you doing, PJ?
Hey, Bri, Jeff, Jamie. How we doing? Are we talking Lamorello and Babcock, or am I talking Messiah and Dwayne? What are we doing?
Whatever's on your plate, man. If you got some
Leaf
take.
Who
do
you got more respect for? Who deserves
Lamorello
more props?
My main man. Lou's my main guy. I want to talk about him. I'm still a Maple Leafs fan, for sure.
Well, Lou commands a lot of respect. Have you had many conversations with Lou Lamorello over the years?
Oh, he's an old, well, I shouldn't say we're both old, but he's a good friend from 100 years ago when he was at Providence, and I was at Seton Hall. First, he was the hockey coach and then the athletic director. And when he ran the Devils in Jersey, he let us play in his building when I was at Seton Hall and then at the Prudential Center. So we go way back, and I have enormous respect for him. He's the best.
Well, Lou's got a reputation of being a guy that will wine and dine after games. But, oh, and Noodles, I don't know if you're aware of this, but PJ is famous for going out to eat dinner every single night of the year. Is that correct, PJ? That's what you're known for to an extent, among other things.
You know, with the two kids at home, it's not quite every night now, but for about 40 years, it was every night for sure. I miss my spots in Toronto, man. I'm hoping I get the Raptors in the playoffs. I want to come up there. I got a lot of places I got to visit again.
Like 20, 30 years every night? It makes sense. I mean, there's no dishes. There's no cleanup. Why not?
Exactly. Yeah. It's good. Well, when you got no wife and kids at home to go. I was 51 before I got married, so I had a lot of nights out after recruiting and games. It was all fun.
That's a veteran move.
Yeah,
you wait
smart.
Till you're 51,
you're smart, buddy. Get it out of your system.
With PJ Carlissimo from the NBA and ESPN, he's in Cleveland tonight, and it's Raps Cavs and. The Cavaliers are playing for something tangible. They're playing for playoff seeding. They could still drop all the way down to the sixth spot. But as for the Raptors, you know, they're five games up on Boston. They probably got the top seed locked. What do you think they're playing for tonight?
Well, I think they're still playing. You got to make sure they have to get the first because that's going to make a big difference. You know, A, if it gets to a game seven, B, potential matchups. Although the way the East is right now, I mean, you four games between like third and eighth. In the Eastern Conference, so it's hard to say who you're going to play. But to me right now, and these guys know better than I do, when you're a couple weeks away from the playoffs, you just want to be playing, you want to stay healthy, and you want to be ready. And, you know, when you're as good as the Raptors are, you point for the playoffs. And they've done everything they could in the regular season, I think, to position themselves right where they want to be. Case's biggest worry, I would think, right now is staying healthy, make sure they're healthy going into the playoffs, and then have home court because you guys know what a huge advantage it is playing in the ACC. So they're right on target to do what they want to do. They've won nine in a row on the road. I'm anxious to see them. It's the first time I've seen them in person this year, so I'm really anxious to see the game tonight. It's only been on TV for me.
Yeah, it's they're a good team. I mean, I don't have to tell you that. You're aware of what they've done, but we've been talking about LeBron's comments from Shootaround earlier today where he was naming off a bunch of bench players, and the bench has gotten a lot of accolades, deservedly so. But I thought his opening comments are the ones that stick the most and mean the most, where he said, listen, make no mistake, this team's success in Toronto begins and ends really with DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, and they have not had a great playoff resume. They've had a number of games where they just did not perform up to their capabilities. Based on what you've seen on TV and what you know of Kyle and DeMar, why do you believe, if you believe, that that will change this upcoming spring?
Well, I think if anything, they're getting better. I mean, DeMar's becoming a good three-point shooter. I mean, really in the past, he either didn't shoot it at all or didn't shoot it well. He's become, I think, a significantly better three-point shooter, and he's distributing the ball. I mean, I think the offense, the way they're playing now, he's got five-plus assists, which is incredible. He's really distributing the ball well. I think Kyle's going to be fine. I think the biggest concern for Kyle is the next 2 weekends, as long as Villanova continues to advance and maybe wins another national championship, then Kyle's going to be okay. First thing I did when I saw him today, I'm heading up to Boston tomorrow with Villanova for the East region. And I think he's going to, honestly, if I'm Dwayne Casey, there's two guys I'm not worried about. It's DeMar and Kyle Lowry, honestly. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll benefit from their past experiences. And they know what's being said, what's being written. And they're the only two that can change that. And I would be very confident from the outside that they will change that.
With PJ Carlissimo here on Overdrive, LeBron James coming off a triple-double. He's played in every single game this year. He's in his 15th season. In the era of players being shut down and selectively taking nights off, if not weeks off, how surprising is this to you that LeBron just keeps chugging along, playing every night, playing over 37 minutes a night?
And he's in the gym the day after the season's over.
He's a freak, isn't he?
It's not LeBron. There's nobody else that has his body, but there's somebody else inside his body, a younger guy, doing that this year. It's remarkable. I mean, these guys know better than I do. Just to get through the grind of the year, much less when you're the guy that everybody is coming to see night in and night out. And with all, this is like a soap opera in Cleveland every year. I mean, change coaches, change the team, have the injuries, all the stuff they're dealing with. And there's one constant, and it's absurd how good care he takes of his body. And I'm doing the stats. There was almost no room in the picture, on the press radio TV roster to put where he's in the league in every category. And the last 1 minute, he's number two in minutes in the league. I think it's 37.1 minutes, and he's played 72 games. You got to be kidding me.
It's crazy.
He's a freak of nature, but it's not by accident. He works at it. I mean, people think, well, look at LeBron. Big, strong guy. He outworks the other people. The reason he's as successful and has been as successful, and I think, frankly, not winning last year is fueling him again. So I think I don't know that he's had a better year than he's had so far this year. He's really hungry, and that's the thing that concerns me if I'm in the East, because I'm not sure they get there, until they get all these. They have five guys out tonight. They got to get these new guys playing with Kevin Love, who just came back, and with LeBron, and find out what they have. But the scary part, if you're in the East, is if they're close, LeBron's good enough to get them over. But I don't know if they can get close with this roster.
The omnipresent conversation throughout the NBA all year has been about officiating the Raptors. You know what happened over the weekend against Oklahoma City.
I saw, yep, on the weekend.
Yeah, I haven't been happy. What's your take on the league-wide officiating? Is it different this year, or is this just a hot take that's gotten carried away?
I'm a coach. I complained about it for 40 years. On TV and radio, I don't complain quite as much. It's an impossible job, I will say that. I mean, these guys, to referee an NBA game, is very, very difficult because of the – I mean, it's getting harder because guys are bigger, stronger, and quicker now. I think that's a thing that people sometimes don't appreciate, that the game is different now than it's been. So I think it's harder to officiate. But, I mean, we've got the best officials you can get, and there's nothing you can do. You can complain about it. There's nothing – no one likes them. It's not like a couple teams like them and think, oh, these guys are really good, and the other 28 don't. No one – everybody's the same. There's nothing you can do about it. The good news is when it gets to playoffs, only the best officials advance. Sometimes in the first round, guys, they're trying to break in, and give them a little playoff experience. But once you get past that, it's only the best officials. And if you got the best officials, there's no point in complaining about it. Let's just play the game and try and deal with the things you can.
He is former Raptors assistant coach and current NBA on ESPN radio analyst PJ Carlissimo in Cleveland tonight. Cavs, Raps, enjoy it, and we'll catch you down the road. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you. I'll go see Jonesy and Jack. I'll make sure they're okay.
Yep.
Appreciate
it. Those are our guys. Say hi for us.
All right. Take it easy.
There's PJ Carlissimo joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.ca.
Well known for eating out 40
years in a row, every night.
Christmas. I would have thought of something else before I thought of eating out. And you know what that is. Sprewell?
Right, what did he?
Oh, the choke job?
Yeah.
Sprewell choking PJ Carlissimo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's
choked
right.
him out. That's all I could think about. And you're like, this guy is so known for... I'm like, what?
I guess you're right. Honestly, that slipped my mind. I wasn't going to say, remember when you got choked out by Latrell Sprewell.
No kidding. But you were well, like, this guy's really well known for...
You're not going to be...
Eating
like,
out. I'm like... You're eating out. This guy was.
You're
this was national
be,
news.
You're okay, going to be Farley with Paul McCartney.
Paul, remember that time when Latrell Sprewell put you in a chokehold?
Yeah,
well, but couldn't. Dude, I'm talking every night. Like I'm not being selective here. Christmas Eve out for dinner. Christmas Day out for dinner. New Year's out for dinner. Every single night for like 30 years.
I think that's awful.
He went out for dinner. He never stayed home and ate ever.
That is
I think
crazy.
At all my time like in pro hockey, I don't think I made one dinner.
I made it all the time. I made my own pregame.
Really?
Yeah.
Never. Why would I want to do dishes for myself?
I don't know, because you're human?
Yeah, but it's not like... How many dishes do you create when you like make something? You just throw it right into the dishwasher. Do you not have a dishwasher at your house?
It was a part of my culture, a part of my life. I liked to go out for dinner.
I'm with you, but every single day.
I would come home from practice, I would take a two-hour nap, and then I'd be like, I got to get the hell out of this house. I'd like to go out, nice glass of wine, nice dinner, home. TV.
I'm with you, but bowl of cereal in the morning? You never had a bowl of cereal? In 12 years in the league?
Never.
Yeah, never made some eggs?
I used to make cereal and toast for myself.
And then as time went on, they make you breakfast at the rink.
Now they make you breakfast, but
okay,
back
but
then...
Okay, but at some point...
Like, I'd come home, a lot of times... If I was backing up that night, which was a lot, I would jump in sometimes with the lunch group for a pregame, and sometimes I would go home and just grab like.
I'd have girls over for dinner, and I'd be like, "I'm going to run to the Italian restaurant and get the food, and I'll be back."
Okay, but you need
take
plates.
It out of the canisters, put it on the plates, and it didn't go over well because they're like, "You've been gone for 45 minutes."
Yeah, you're like.
So what happened? You forgot, and you actually had to go and order when you were there.
It always worked out, buddy boy.
Listen, I'm with you. I'm not pretending like I'm, you know, emerald in the kitchen here. I wasn't making a lot of meals back in the day either.
I'll tell you what. If you fired up a lasagna for the ladies, you would have been in business.
Yeah, you would have been fine. All good.
Yeah, it's an icebreaker, my lasagna. Yeah,
it's basically a triple gin and tonic. Hands fall down.
You could try and work out a deal for brakes with your dealer, or you can buy off eBay. Find brake pads for as low as $90, and with eBay, you can find thousands of parts that fit your vehicle. Buy it now. Buy it near. eBay. Fill your cart with color. Shop ebay.ca. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. A doozy in Buffalo tonight. Arizona taking on the Sabres.
Who do you got winning? Here's the question for you.
The dumpster bowl. Who's going to win the dumpster bowl?
I got Buffalo tonight. Jack Eichel's back.
Yeah.
I got Zona. They're starting to win. They care now.
It's time for them to really show that this wasn't a lost season. Let's have a really hot final 15 games.
Whatever you think about tanking, it's not the time to win. You just dump it.
But these two teams, they've been tanking for so long. They were tanking 3 years ago when McDavid was up.
Yeah.
They've been tanking for years. I don't think they're trying to tank. They thought they were going to be better than this. They're just awful.
Yeah, both of those teams are trying to get at least experience to some of their young guys. Like Arizona is, it just, they've got work to do. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Both organizations.
I'm on Buff. I'm on Pitt tonight. And because our boy Matt Stajan playing in his 1,000th game, I'll take Calgary at home against Anaheim.
Wow. Chewy with a hat trick.
I got Stage having a massive game tonight.
It's a bit of a stretch, but I think he's going to have a great game.
But will they honor him tonight or the next game after?
I would think you honor him tonight, wouldn't you?
No,
or, no maybe you get
the
through
after,
the game and then you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's coming on the show tomorrow, so I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, like he's If he's skating around with no bucket on and gets hit in the head in warm-up and can't play his thousands, then you can't have the ceremony.
Ceremony, I guess you're right.
He was a legend, man. We would have bottle service when the big Swede would get vodka for everybody. Everybody drank vodka. He'd be like, no, Crown Royal.
More of a crown guy. Put that on Sundin, though.
Are you going to ask
every time, Amex Black. He paid for everything.
Are you going to ask him when he went Messier? Are you going to ask him about the hair or no?
You can ask him about
it. That's more I will. He had to do it.
Yeah, we'll talk to him.
He had bacon strips floating everywhere up there.
Staging 1,000 games tonight. I, for whatever reason, I'm on the Flames. Throw down 20, you can score 82. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. ProLine, get way into the game. Like, they have to believe. I saw that Trey Levin came out, and he's like, I'm not prepared to say that the season's over yet.
They're on life support.
They absolutely are. Calgary's got to get going.
Well, they've got to win out.
It's over.
It's over. I don't think they're in, but you're not going to tell your team that you're done, obviously. There's like the most pointless question to ever ask is to ask a GM where his team is still mathematically alive if you think your season is done.
Yeah.
He's not going to lie.
Useless question. Yeah, they've got to win out and they need help. That's the truth. So it's life support for the Flames.
Well, you got to win tonight, right? You're trying to catch Anaheim. They're at 86 points.
Right. So it's a 4-point game. You could be at 82 and keep them
in Anaheim, right? Or no?
Oh, it's in Calgary.
It's in Calgary tonight. Yeah.
Mike Smith needs a big game. I didn't think he played very well against Arizona the other night. And quite honestly, we'll get into it, and you guys can get into it too. The value of a good backup. Mike Smith gets hurt. They had Riddick and John Gillies come up, didn't do the job, and think of the valuable points on a team that is on the cusp.
Mm-hmm.
If they missed the playoffs by 2 points or 4 points, you could circle like a big injury to Mike Smith, but you can also circle like we didn't have somebody to do the job.
Give us two more wins.
Two more wins. And obviously you can't lay it all at their feet, but that helps. That would
There's
help.
Not enough goalies in the league. Not enough good ones anyway.
Well, you got to find the right one. McElhinney's done a good job this year.
Yeah.
Been very good.
Yeah, he's been great. His numbers are spectacular.
We're going to be back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Are we?
A little early.
No.
Noodles isn't going to be here tomorrow. Craig's going to be in here.
Craig's in tomorrow. I'm calling the Edmonton-Ottawa game.
Ooh, that's a stinky one, too.
Well, at least you get to see McDavid.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one benefit.
I'm
going to
be at ice level, too, so see how that unfolds. Unfortunately, Eric Karlsson won't be in the lineup.
And can you get me a McDavid twig to bring home?
Nope, not even going to ask. Won't even try.
How about a puck from warm-up? That's not asking too much.
Bring that through security?
Yeah, you can get a puck on a plane. You're Noodles.
I brought Joe from the Bridge a stick. I had to check it. It was just a disaster.
Oh, you get Joe from the Bridge a stick? You won't get me a McDavid stick?
It was for
stick?
His, like, bachelor. It wasn't even his bachelor. It was like he's doing this weird thing or whatever.
The stags are
But it's not a stag. It's like a doe stag. I don't even know what this is.
Oh, the Jack and Jill thing?
I don't know
what
it's like. It's a stag, but it's not a stag. And
it's
but there's
very
an
confusing.
Admission charge. I don't know what's going on.
Anyway, enjoy yourself tomorrow.
I will.
Oh, you and I will be back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We're going to chat then.